Dub, CNN is right here with DJ Khalil for an in-depth interview. And before we get into all the greatness that's going on right now, let's rewind back a little bit. Tell us about your upbringing and, you know, how music found its way into your life.
My dad played in the NBA, and he played for like 10 years. And he, being in the NBA, you know, it's just like how NBA players are, you know, today. They, you know, hang out with a lot of musicians. Back then it was a lot of jazz musicians and stuff like that. My dad used to get like records from everybody. So, you know, I just grew up around a lot of great music, you know. My dad's from Philly, so he's a big jazz head. So I grew up, you know, listening to that. And then, you know, Luther Vandross, a lot of soul stuff, you know, everything, you know. So that's kind of like how I got introduced into music. And I used to always, you know, sneak on my dad's, you know, stereo, you know, component system and all that. And I used to, you know, make him tapes and, you know, and
right,
pick out my own songs and all that stuff. So, you know, I grew up around a lot of great music. And then, you know, and then I finally picked up DJing, you know, when I was in junior high. And then after that, like, I just had the bug, you know, I love DJing. So
okay,
that's pretty much it. Yeah.
So as far as the transition into hip hop, who were you listening to when you know got into making beats?
When I started making beats, which was like around like 91, I mean, I was listening to like Gangstar, Pete Rock, you know, Main Source. Like, it was like the golden, you know, like the golden age. Public Enemy, you know, anything the Bomb Squad was doing, any Molly Maw, you know, like 45 King, you know, I was just way, that was just like, I wanted to make that music, you know what I'm saying? I met a friend who had a studio, and he had like a sampler and, you know, all kind of stuff, and I used to just sneak out my dad's records and go over there, and we would just make beats all day. That's all I did every summer, was just make beats. And I had no idea what I was doing, but, I don't know. I just, I loved it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I wanted to spend like all my time doing it. And, you know, eventually when I went away to college, I bought like an ASR-10 and I just started doing it every day, you know? So, you know, that's pretty much like how I got started.
Okay. But, and
just making.
You got your first break, or you were introduced to the public as one half of the group Self Scientific. How did you and Chase Infinite hook up, and why did you decide to form a team?
It's funny because Chase and I, like, we met through playing basketball. We were both like, we were in, they have this thing in Santa Barbara called Superstars Camp. And, you know, it's an invitation only type basketball camp where, you know, they take like some of the top, you know, junior high players, and he was invited and I was invited, and we were like the best guards in our age group, and we, you know, we ended up playing against each other, and that's how we got introduced, and then we started becoming friends, and then we play in the same league in high school. So before the games, you know, we would hook up, and I just started making beats, and Chase was rhyming, and, you know, and after a while, we just became really good friends, and we connected, and, you know what I'm saying, like, he started coming to the studio, and then we started recording. We cut a, like a 4-song demo, you know what
right.
I mean, like, in like one summer, and that's really like how we got started. We weren't even called Self Scientific then; we were called something else. And
what,
you know,
were you
we were called the Numbskulls.
Oh, for real? Okay.
Yeah, we were called the Numbskulls, and you know, we were just making music. We didn't even think like, oh, we're gonna get signed or we're gonna do whatever. We just wanted to hear ourselves, you know what I mean? So
right. That
was, you know, that's pretty much how I got started. But Self-Scientific didn't actually come about until we went to college, because we went to college in Atlanta, and Chase went to Morris Brown, I went to Morehouse, and then you know, we lived together for a while, and then, you know, I was making beats every day, and Chase was just writing, and then Chase came up with the name and all that, and we just started recording and you know, making songs. So every time we come back home to LA, we just record a demo, we record new stuff, and that's, you know, just kind of like blossomed into the group, you know.
Okay.
And yeah, so that's how we got started.
And back then, when you were on the underground level, did you have any, you know, aspirations to become a force in the mainstream scene?
What, back then?
Yeah.
No, I didn't even know you could really make money doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't really focused on that. I just wanted to hear, like, I made beats just so I could listen to it, like, in the car. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, I wanted to make something, like, I'd hear a Pete Rock beat or whatever, or hear, like, Jay Dilla or, you know, whatever. And I just wanted to make something that fresh. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, for a while, I just loved the craft, you know, just being able to do that, listening to new records and listening to new styles of music and trying to see what I can come up with. You know, I was just fascinated by it. So I really didn't know until like 2000, you know, around 2000, 2001, that I could actually, you know, make money and actually have a career. You know what I mean? That wasn't my focus at first, you know?
So. Okay. And at what point did you first meet Dr. Dre? I believe it was like through a Keith Murray record that you did?
No, actually the Keith Murray record, all this stuff like happened at the same time. I had Keith Murray, you know, that had Def Jam calling me, and then Dre he signed this artist named Brooklyn.
Right. And I remember her from New York, right?
Yeah, and she did a demo with a bunch of like my beats and, you know, a couple other producers like Jake One and, you know, and he, you know, and Dre heard it. He loved all the music. So he wanted to keep it for our album. So, you know, I met Dre first when I was 13, you know, at my parents' house. through a mutual friend. And that day I talked to him, you know, and I told him, you know, I was like, I was already a DJ, but I was just like, you know, he was my hero, you know what I'm saying? So I was like talking to him and I was bugging out and I was just like, I told him, like, dude, I'm going to be a producer. I'm going to be a producer. And he remembered that because when I saw him, when we reconnected through the whole Brooklyn thing, you know, we had a laugh about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
He was just like tripping out over it. And, you know, and at that point, you know, I had so much music. I just kept giving him stuff. And, you know, he was really like excited about what I was doing and just how creative I was, you know, and I was still very raw, you know what I mean? So,
right.
But he saw something, you know, and you know, probably like, you know, maybe a month later after connecting with him that day that they were like, yo, we want to bring you on board, you know? So I've been there ever since.
Did you have any doubts about becoming part of the Aftermath family?
No, not at all. I mean, because at that point, I mean, I was so new and it was an opportunity to learn from one of the greats, you know what I'm saying? And to be associated with them. And it was a great, you know, everything's like a stepping stone. And that is like one of the things. I mean, he's helped me with every stage of my career. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Directly and indirectly, you know, and he's been a mentor to me. So, you know, it made perfect sense at the time, you know, it was like, you know, I have a chance, you know, and, you know, they have 50, you know, Eminem, everything. I mean, Aftermath was on top too, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
That made, you know, I mean,
yeah,
that
sense.
Made the whole situation that much better, you know, but just to work with Dre and, you know, to actually have, you know, him interested in my music, you know, and have a chance to work with him, you know, you can't beat that, you know.
Right.
That's like.
But that's what every producer says that work with him, like, oh, it's like he got that magic the way, you know, just kind of being around him and learning. But like concretely, what are some of the most valuable lessons that, you know, you learned while being at Aftermath?
Man, there's so many, but, Dre, he's just really, I mean, for one, he's as incredible and all the things that he's done, everything, he's still a very humble person, and he's very, you know, I mean, that's one thing that when you meet him or you talk to him, that's what strikes you, is that he's just very humble, and
right.
He's all, but, you know, he knows that he, you know, he's about excellence. You know what I mean? And that's really like one thing that you pick up. You can't go into a room with him and play him something that's, you know, that's half-assed or that's right. just, you know what I mean? That's not just up to par. Like you cannot fake it with him. Like he'll call you out. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And he'll tell you, you know, he gives you constructive criticism, and he does it to me, you know, all the time, even now, you know, and you know, there's a lot of things that I have to improve on, you know, but the main thing is that he's a producer, you know, like he produces vocals, he's a perfectionist, you know, he can jump on an SSL and mix a record, you know, he knows exactly what he wants, and he makes decisions like. As a producer, like, you have to make a lot of decisions, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, every little thing, every little, you know, every little vocal, every, you know, every snare, every hi-hat, you know, where stuff is supposed to go, like, he is very in tune with that and just trying to, you know, craft the best piece of music possible. And, like, recently I was in the studio with him, and I got to, you know, actually watch him coach somebody doing vocals and, you know, just how he thinks about records and, you know what I mean? Like, and how he's going, you know, he wants everybody to love whatever record he's working on. You know, he wants, you know, every, you know, generation, like cross-generation type records, worldwide type records, you know? So
right.
he's very, like, particular about what's being said on a record, how it's being said, you know, it's just, he's just a producer. You know what I'm saying? He's just the ultimate perfectionist, professional, you know, producer. So that's what I learned the most.
What's funny is that from the public, you see Dre getting criticized a lot for, you know, taking so long to put something out. But all the artists and producers who work with him never have anything negative to say.
Right.
What do you think? What do you think it is that makes him so special? Because fans get pissed, like, oh, he's taken over a decade to put an album out. It's not even worth the wait, and this and that. But it's got to be something.
Well, I mean, I guess because we're close to it, and you know, and we support him, you know, and I just feel like. You know, if anybody has the right to take as long as they want for a record, I mean, he can. You know, I mean, his resume speaks for itself, and not only that, I mean, it's you know, he still has. I mean, the biggest record, you know, most anticipated record, period. Anyway, I mean, he still does. I mean, it's undeniable. So, you know, it's not like. If he puts his record out, nobody's gonna go get it because they're mad. You know what I mean?
Right.
People are gonna get the record. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know how they take it in or whatever. You know, is up to them. But I just feel like if he wants to take time out to make the best record possible, then I think he's earned that right. You know, and honestly, he has nothing else to prove to anybody, as far as I'm concerned. You know, after breaking. Superstar artist and, you know, creating several different movements and, you know, and hit records. It's like, what else does he really have to prove? You know, it kind of sucks that people even want to doubt him like that, but, you know,
yeah,
that's hip hop. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's hip hop, and that's the record business. And it's really all about what you've done lately, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Especially in hip hop, you know?
Yeah,
I don't think it's like that for rock or anything else, you know? But, you know, I think he's earned the right to take his time to make the best product possible, because every time he drops, it's a different movement, you know? And it takes time to create that, you know? They've had a heck of a run, so now it's like starting fresh, you know? It's like, okay, now what? You know what I'm saying? So, only he has the answers to that. You know, nobody has those answers, really.
Okay. And I believe Focus recently left Aftermath, and he said that he was tired of making music and it wasn't getting released. Is that something that you can relate to?
No, I don't look at it that way. I mean, you know, I work for Aftermath. You know, I'm a staff producer, so you know that's the risk that I took signing the deal. So I don't, you know, I'm not, because, you know, I've also been able to work with Jay-Z and Game and, you know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
D-Unit, you know, 50. I mean, I'm able to do records outside of the camp, so I really don't, you know, for me personally, I don't have any gripes or anything. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
If you know, if you hear something, I mean, and I think, you know, I don't know, like that I can only speak on my experience, you know,
no,
like I don't know, you know, I can't speak on Focus, who, you know, who's one of my favorite producers and, you know, and one of, you know, and one of like my mentors too, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, I everybody's experience is different, you know, so I can't speak on his, but my experience, like I don't have any problem whatsoever, you know, like, you know, at first, you know, like, you know, I just wanted to be heard over there, because after a while, I was like, you know, you couldn't even get heard over there, you know.
Right.
But now, you know, it's just different, and, you know, now it's, you know, it's not really, I don't know, I don't have any issue with it at all. I don't, you
okay.
know, if they hold on to stuff, you know, then it's like, that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? I gotta keep working regardless. That means I just have to work 10 times harder, you know what I'm saying?
Cause yeah.
Dre is very particular about what he keeps anyway, so,
okay,
you know, it's not really, yeah.
And, you know, that was a detox leak with a T.I. on it, and Kobe was on the hook. That sounded a lot like your work. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, I can't comment on any of that stuff. I mean, just so you know, like, just, so, I don't know. I can't really make a comment about either way. Just so you know, like,
okay,
you know, like, those
I'm just
were,
saying, it sounded like that was you behind it. That was a good record too. I like Kobe's hook. You know which one
yeah,
I'm talking
Kobe,
about?
Kobe.
That this is detox. Da, 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 da. You know which one?
Right.
Yeah, that was a good record. How slim are the chances of leaked records actually ending up on the final product?
You know, yeah, who knows, man? Like. You know, like, I mean, he has so much music, you know what I mean? And there's so much music and, you know, who knows, like, what's going to make it, what's not going to make it. I mean, he's got an arsenal of music that's crazy, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, stuff that gets leaked and that's kind of out there, I mean, who, you know,
okay,
who knows, like, if he's going to keep it or not. But, I mean, the response was really good on, you know, on everything that got leaked, so that's a positive sign, you know. But in turn, you know, well, who knows, man, like, you know what I'm saying, like, he might scrap everything right now and just, you know, start fresh, you know, like, you just never know with Dre, like,
like, with these reference tracks that leak, how does that work? Is that, like, actually a Dre record that, like, Ludacris rapped over that just came out? Or is that, like, some producer who made a beat for him and he wrote to it? Or what's the system behind that?
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, because people, you know, there's so many people working on songs for him, you know, like, and there's so many people that want to be on this record. So, you know, there's a lot of producers, you know, that are submitting, you know, submitting ideas, like, all the time to them, and, you know, of course, you know, they end up getting leaked or whatever, and then, oh, there's a detox leak, you know, but
yeah.
Who knows if it's official, if it's, you know, if Dre's even heard it or anything, like,
what's Dre's reaction to these leaks?
He's very calm, like, he's just like, oh, well, like, you know
does
what I mean?
Does he give a fuck, or?
Huh?
Does he give a fuck, or is it like, oh, whatever, I got enough other shit?
He does initially, like, you know, because, you know, that's his record, you know, those
yeah.
are his ideas that he's been working on, so, of course, that would make anybody upset at first, but, you know, his attitude is like, well, what can I do about it now, you know, like, it's done, and, you know, I can either sit here and be upset about it or just keep working, you know, and he's, like, really cool about that, you know, like, I remember when a lot of those records leaked, like, on his birthday, you know what
right.
I'm saying, and we were with him on his birthday, and we talked about it, and he was just like, you know, we'll make more stuff, you know, we'll make more, or, you know, he doesn't really trip. Like, he doesn't really trip off of that stuff, you know?
What I don't get is, why did these people who write records for him all write the same shit? Like, ain't he tired of hearing the, oh, I'm the greatest, I brought you the chronic, I'm in the sixfold? It's like they all write the same fucking shit for him. Like, nobody can come up with something creative for Dre?
Yeah, I mean...
You know what I mean?
It's just like... I don't know, like... There's way more to him than just that. Like, he's going to talk about his accomplishments on every record. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that he's learned along the way. He's had a long career in the music business. There's so many stories and everything that he can talk about. You know, people always, you know, they just, that's their idea of it, though. But see, like, when you start creating for him that way, that's like the first sign of, like, he's not even going to even listen to it. He's going to be like, nah, I'm cool. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because he's heard it so many times.
I know.
You know?
We all know he's the greatest.
Right.
You know what I mean?
The greatest. Right.
And we don't want to hear a whole album of bragging.
It's not going to be a whole album of that.
Nah,
at all. I mean, you know, but yeah, that's what everybody keeps submitting. So it's like,
right.
You know.
Okay.
Can you
describe a typical studio session with Dre? Like, how involved are the musicians in the whole creative process?